I recently completed a live virtual boot camp, had about 25 people in it, and a lot of the people I was working with were designing strategies and business plans that revolved around automated facilities and remote management. So I thought I'd bring an expert on remote management, Terry Campbell of Copper Self-Storage Management, on to talk to you today about remote management. My name is Mark Helm. I'm the author of Creating Wealth Through Self-Storage, and I'm the creator of the on-demand self-storage boot camp that is a cloud-based version of the boot camp like we just did, that you can take at your own pace. You can find out more about it at creatingwealththroughselfstorage.com. But I thought today I would bring a real expert to you to talk about remote management and some of the nuances of it. So without further ado, let me introduce you to Terry Campbell of Copper Self-Storage Management. So welcome, everyone. This is Terry Campbell of Copper Self-Storage Management now. And Terry and I have known each other, since about 2015, maybe 2016, and done some business together. But recently, Terry has moved from the lending space into the self-storage management space and is in a new and growing area of our industry, which is automated self-storage management. So first question to you, Terry, is why an automated facility over a more traditionally run facility with managers?
Well, Mark, first of all, thanks for having me here again. It's good to see you and good to do one of these again with you. It's been great since we started doing these. Answer the question, the biggest thing that people are looking at nowadays to look at remotely managed versus the traditional managers, there's several reasons, but OPEX is one of the big ones. The cost of payroll, obviously, that's typically the second largest expense after your real estate taxes. So payroll taxes, benefits, things like that are a big savings, which, increase your value, give you more NOI, things like that. But another big thing is, it's really hard these days to get good people. I mean, it's hiring is worse than it's ever been. Trying to find the right person. There are some stats out there now that we see that it's, at least 200% turnover nowadays for a self-storage manager position. So, twice a year, you're putting somebody in there, training them, getting them up to speed. And having that one person, you're actually kind of depending on that one person for your business. Those are a couple of the big reasons is, hiring, finding the right people, and just the savings of OPEX, which can drive up your NOI and your value.
Very good. Now, I intuitively think, and not that what I think is necessarily correct, but I intuitively think that remote management or automated facilities work well on smaller facilities, but not on larger ones. Correct me if I'm wrong on that.
That is most people's intuition. And that's, that is definitely what people feel like is the case. Nobody really tried to do the bigger ones for a while, or never tried to do new lease ups for a while. They were like, a smaller one or one that's full. But we had one that was in lease up this summer that we were managing. We did 83 rentals in 3 days. You physically can't do that with a manager on site. I mean, that's almost 4 people per hour. You've got to process 8 hours a day without stopping. And it's not going to happen. And people aren't going to stand and wait that long. They're going to get aggravated. It works. What we have found is it works with small ones, big ones. We've managed facilities, probably 100, 125 units, and up to over 700, 800 units.
Wow.
So it works. Wow. It works both ways. It works on acquisitions that have occupancy. It works on ones that are in lease up or brand new.
Really? So your lease up velocity, absorption rate, you would compete with somebody who has an on-site manager and feel you could hold your own or win?
Yeah, we sure can, because one of the reasons, Mark, or some of the reasons, is that it actually, and again, it sounds counterintuitive, is that we make it more convenient because you can rent online 24 hours a day. If you need to talk to somebody, our call centers are open 12 hours a day from 8 to 8. And you've got access to people or methods or technology to be able to rent whenever you want. I mean, you know, a lot of facilities that have managers on site, they're 9 to 5, maybe a little bit more on either side of that. But, typically if you need to rent a unit, you're going to have to leave work early or you're going to go at lunch or something like that. And I'll tell you what's really aggravating, because it's happened to me, and it's happened to me at one of my own facilities that copper we don't manage, is that I've shown up twice at a facility I'm a partner in and the manager's not there. So if I were to leave, work early and go to rent a unit and they're not there, here's a sign that says manager will be back in an hour or whatever. Okay. Like I said, it makes it much more accessible and convenient to rent than in many cases, actually somebody on site.
Interesting. Now, I've noticed your company doesn't really make use of kiosks quite a bit.
Years ago when kiosks came out, that was the big thing. That was the hot thing. These days, everybody has a kiosk in their pocket. When you can rent online, you can rent on your computer, you can rent on your iPad, you can rent on your cell phone, and if someone comes up to our site, if they don't realize it's remotely managed and they don't find us online or they don't, call our call center, and they get there, we've got signs up everywhere giving instructions. There's a QR code. You just zap that QR code. And unlike a kiosk, I mean, some people still use kiosk and, they have their place. But what we have found is that, you zap that QR code, it takes you to the website, the renter unit, and it auto-populates all your information, your name, address, your credit card, everything. It makes it a faster process because, if you're using a kiosk, you're having to enter every bit of that. And also, one of the things that we heard during the pandemic was people were like, oh, I don't know who touched this thing last. I'm afraid to touch it. Well, they're not afraid to touch their own phone. So, using that technology, using the phone, using, the ability to e-sign on mobile devices now, it's changed things and made it so much easier.
Got it. So it really can reduce payroll costs. Other costs, if any, might it reduce?
Well, I can tell you some of the things that it, you can look at this as it can increase income or reduce costs by the following. When you've got a manager face-to-face in person, when somebody comes in with a sad story that, hey, I can't pay all my rent this month, or I'm late, I don't want to pay my late fees, or no, I don't want to get your tenant insurance, it's much easier for them to waive those fees or to bypass those things. And it's not as easy. It just doesn't happen when you're remote, because somebody's standing in front of you face to face. It's a whole lot easier for you to give in to them. We get more people on auto pay this way. And one thing, and I don't want to make it sound like every self-storage manager out there is a thief, but as well as I do, you've been in a little business a long time, there's been a lot of theft that's occurred. Managers get very creative on how to put money in their pockets. So you're doing away with these things. These things can't happen anymore.
And we'll get into your company in specific, but what would the life of a owner be like if they used your services or someone like your services? So I've got a, in fact, we're doing a deal. One of the reasons I'm doing this deal is I've never done remote management. I'm interested in doing it simply so I can talk a little more intelligently about it. So we've got a piece of property under contract. It's probably 10,000 feet. We hope to be adding about another 10. And our intention at this point is to turn it over to you. What would my life as an owner be like? And what would kind of my experience be interacting with you or a company like you, but specifically you or your company?
It should be pretty good for you because we handle everything. We handle obviously the rentals. We have our own call center. So we're handling the calls. Excuse me. We're handling the maintenance issues. We actually hire what we call a boots on the ground person. They're a 1099 contractor that we have in that market that handles things for us, like just regular light maintenance. They get the units ready to rent. They put locks in the units. So when somebody moves in, they've got the lock to use. And whenever it's that time of the month that, whatever day it is that you consider somebody late, then they go out the next day, do their normal procedures that they do, but they also put on the overlocks. So we use the DaVinci lock system, which works really great for this, type of management. So they go out, they put on the locks, they enter the information into the app on their phone, goes up into the system, into the software. When it's that time of the month to cut locks and have auctions, they go cut the lock. And we do the online auction. They take the pictures, they upload everything into that. We handle the rental, the lien process. We handle the auction process. We handle revenue management, tenant insurance, the whole nine yards. We get everybody signed up, and then we do insurance audits every so often to make sure that, everybody that's supposed to be having tenant insurance that they do. So we kind of handle everything from A to Z. The 1099 contractor is your responsibility to pay. Unless you have us do your bookkeeping, we offer a basic bookkeeping as an option. And then obviously if we're doing that, then we're going to pay that for you. So we can make it relatively painless for you.
What type of revenue, with that, you don't have to go into a lot of detail, but what type of revenue management are we talking about?
Well, we use different softwares. We use StoreTrack. We have a team. That's all they do is they review what's going on in your market and in your facility and in your market. When you reach a certain unit size, reaches a certain occupancy, if it drops to a certain occupancy, then we can put in some discounts or some sort of incentives in place to bring those back up. If street rates up, we're gonna raise them. Our goal is to make you as much money as possible. So we're gonna push rates and push rates till we see we need to stop. But we're gonna pay attention to the unit sizes, to the market. And again, using StoreTrack, we use that, which scrapes the websites multiple times daily so that we've got the most up-to-date information. And for those that aren't on the web that can't be scraped, then we actually are calling and finding out what's going on there so we can make appropriate adjustments. I mean, we're not like the big REITs and have the special, high-priced algorithms that have been built. But, we use it like this and it works pretty good.
Now, my intuition tells me, right, correctly or incorrectly, that if remote management or automated facility, that online marketing has got to be a critical piece. Can you talk to us about what your online marketing program might look like?
Sure. We handle that for you. We handle the website. We handle the SEO. We handle the digital marketing, the company that we use. We use Go Local is the name of the company. So we had a master website built. So everything that goes under that master website, it's going to help us with the SEOs. It's going to help get better placement of each facility because it's under that master website. They also will come back and, for each facility in each market, they're going to look at what's going on and they're going to give you a recommendation for if they feel you need pay-per-click. If you need pay-per-click, they're going to tell you how much they recommend that you spend per month in pay-per-click for your market for that situation. We also have the aggregators, that like everybody else does, that we'll implement for you. We can do some local stuff, to a degree with you. that we can have, you know, extra signage or things like that, and have the boots on the ground person go out and, you know, install it by the road. Maybe it's some, you know, special roadside flags or whatever. But we do get pretty involved in the digital marketing and also some, you know, at the location.
So you're able to literally tell me how much would be based on a location or what's going on in that sub market or that trade area, how much I should be spending on pay-per-click and good. And then I can make a decision to do that or not.
Right.
Because I mean, I've worked with people who literally have outperformed REITs in big markets simply because they know how to work with and manipulate their ads and be constantly A/B testing. And
And we're constantly, you know, talking with the company on how to do things better. And they also, what we do is for our customers, every so often, I can't remember if it's weekly or biweekly or monthly or whatever it is, but they will actually have a town hall meeting that all of our owners that we manage for can attend and ask questions live. They'll go over information, suggestions, ideas, you know, what they're doing. And also you can ask questions live at those events, just like a town hall.
Great. Interesting. And I don't want to propose that I know a lot about the company you went with, but what I think is unique is that you have a flat rate as opposed to just a percentage of income, but you also can participate to some degree in the upside you create. Could you talk a little bit about how the management pricing for a particular owner?
Sure. No, we do. It is a flat rate based on the number of units. That's the way it works. And, you know, we have a setup fee up front, but then it's based on the number of units. And also, as you mentioned, sort of a revenue share. Once we increase your top line, let's say it's an acquisition and we increase your top line by 10%, then we're going to get 1% of that revenue. So, you know, I had had several customers when I came on board say, you know, say, hey, the flat rate's great, but what's your incentive to increase my revenue? And I'm like, well, you know, that's a good question. You know, other than our reputation being on the line, which is very important to us, that's a very good question. And, you know, let's do something about that. So we came up with that, what we call a success fee. If we get you up past, you know, 10% increase from the time we take over, then we share in the total revenue amount, which is, you know, when you look at the numbers, it's very fair. And the other thing is, if for some reason it were to drop below that baseline where we started, we don't get that fee anymore. So that's kind of how it works, you know, the setup fee and then the monthly fee and then a success fee depending on the performance.
And how would that work, the revenue share work on in a lease up situation? Let's say
you beat me to
bringing 40,000 feet onto the market.
You beat me to it. So what happens if it's a lease up situation? Once we get you past 60%, that's when, because we see that 60 to 65% is normally break even. So once we get you past that amount of physical occupancy, that's when we will, you know, participate in the success fee. And also with the tenant insurance, we share, you know, whatever the amount is that the amount that's brought in, the owner gets 50% of that. We get a small amount for handling it and for auditing it. But as the owner, you get 50%.
50% of what?
The tenant insurance, the actual rate that's paid by the tenant.
Okay. So if it's $10 a unit a month, the owner gets $5 and you all would take your, okay, good. And do you, in most of the facilities you manage, is tenant insurance mandatory, or does the owner decide that, or how does that work?
Well, unless the owner is just adamant about it, we're going to require it because, you know, we want that layer of protection, and it's a revenue stream, obviously.
It's a revenue stream, but I told the people in the boot camp I was in last week, there's very few win-wins in life, in my opinion, but tenant insurance is one of them.
That's right.
Because everybody comes out ahead on that one.
That's right.
And the customer would not have to, like, have their homeowner's insurance go up for 5 years because they made a claim at their storage unit.
Yeah, and their deductible is typically going to be a lot more than what it would be just to buy the tenant insurance.
Yeah. What question am I not asking, Terry, that you think would be important for somebody considering remote management or automated facilities I'm not asking?
I think we've covered most of the questions that we normally get.
Really?
I honestly can't think of anything else, but I tell you, it just, you know, it works. And just, if you don't mind, you know, a quick couple of minute background here, you know, we were buying our own facilities and building our own portfolio, and we didn't want to have managers. So, you know, it was like, how do we do that? So the model was built like that. And it was, you know, trial and error and different iterations of it. And then during the pandemic, people were seeing that, okay, it's contactless. You know, their managers were quitting, or their managers didn't want to go to work, or they didn't want to get near anybody. So people were like, hey, can you do that for us? It's like, sure. So what was going on is what was, you know, started out to be a management, you know, model for our portfolio turned out to be a third party management company. And more and more people, it just started, you know, picking up steam. And so, you know, they started offering it, hey, we're going to do this as third party. And it just kept growing and growing. And then for me, you know, at the first of the year, obviously, you know, Bob Copper, you know, we were partners in facilities. We've known each other a long time. And he came to me and he said, you know, we've been building this plane as we've been flying it, and it's really turning into something. We need to make it legitimate. We need to put some structure in place, and we need to, you know, make a real business out of it. So I came on board in April. We were managing they were operating 91 I think it was 91 facilities. Today we're somewhere between 150 and 160 that we're under management or under contract to bring on before the end of the year. I think we may end up with 160 by the end of the year altogether, but that just shows you what, you know, the interest in this model and how it's allowing people to buy facilities that are smaller, that might not normally be, you might not be able to do it with traditional type management just because of the OPEX. And you know, it's increasing value. And it's just, I mean, it's been, it's really taken off, and we continue to grow it. We continue to do things to make it better. And just give you an example, you know, some of our facilities, one of the facilities in particular that we had, luckily for me, I had a good bit of equity in it, is when we sold our portfolio back at the end of March, we had 1.375 was what we had in it. We went in, we did all these changes. We, you know, brought the rates where they belong, put in tenant insurance, got rid of delinquencies, removed the cost of the manager and payroll and benefits and taxes and all of that. And in 18 months, it appraised for 4.2 and sold it for pretty close to that.
So, congratulations.
Thanks. So, and we had several that were very close to that. That was our best one, but just using, you know, that model, reducing OPEX. And, you know, there's cases where you have a facility or buy a facility in a market that's getting close to being tapped out on as far as increases that you can do. Well, the next thing you got to do is lower your OPEX. And this is a, you know, a big way to potentially do it.
For anyone watching this, just so you know, I reached out to Terry yesterday and Terry got on with us today. It says a lot about Terry, and I think it says a lot about the company he works for. How's the move been for you? And I'm sure it's been a big change going from one part of the storage world into a totally new part. Well, it wasn't totally new. You were using them and had a relationship, but personally for you, how has the switch been for you?
It's been interesting. It's been fun, you know, going from, you know, because for 20 years I was a building supplier and then 7 years at the bank. And this kind of rounds out my self-storage industry knowledge, you know, the operation side. And you know, dealing with self-storage owners through the building process or, you know, through the lending process is different than dealing with the tenants that are leasing a unit. I mean, we had one recently that, they showed up Drove 4 hours in the rain, showed up, there was a lock on the unit. Well, what had happened, they rented unit CC-128. Somebody else, like the day before, rented unit C-28. And the other people rented, you know, went into the wrong unit, locked it, didn't rent their proper or go to their proper unit. So this guy shows up, he's you know, rightfully mad, but he's not willing to listen. He's mad. He's got a crowbar trying to get the lock off. I mean, you can see him on the camera, on the recording. But he ends up cutting the lock, opening the door, throwing all the people's stuff out in the rain, in the driveway, and then putting his stuff in and locking it. So, you know, it took us just a little while to figure out what had happened. And we kept trying to get him to, you know, calm down. Let's figure out what's happened here. And he's like, I'm not renting this truck for another day. This is my, you know, it was just fit to be tied. So we contacted the person who owned the other unit or was supposed to be in the other unit that was in his unit and told him what happened. And, you know, they're shocked as we were, but then they're mad. They're mad at us. Well, you guys did something wrong or something. Well, no. You had your information. There's your email. There's your text. It told you what unit. You just went in the wrong unit. And there's signs up everywhere to show what units are. So they went in the wrong unit. And we said, we've already talked to the attorney and the sheriff. And they say, this is a civil issue between the two of you. We're not in the middle of it. So going from dealing with, you know, owners of facilities and people getting loans to the actual end user has been an experience.
Yeah, I'm sure it has. Yeah, you can learn a lot about yourself and a lot about people being involved in self-storage operations.
Sure can. But it's been interesting. It's been good. It's been fun. And, you know, we've got a big goal that we're reaching for. I think we'll make it, you know, to have grown, you know, by 70 facilities, you know, since April, by the end of this year.
That's amazing. You've done quite a job.
That's a lot.
And you have a lot to do with that.
Yeah. And we've got several folks that, you know, are just continue to add and buy more facilities because they can, and this model works. And so our portfolio gets bigger from these folks buying, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 at a time.
Mm-hmm. Well, in my little world, when you move to where you are right now, that just like informed me that remote management and automated running of facilities is a valid way to go. And I think it says a lot about the company you're working for that they would hire you. So I have a lot of respect for you, and I look forward to our ongoing relationship and working with you. On behalf of anyone who's watching this and learning from it, and maybe even reaching out to you, I want to thank you. And if somebody's viewing this or listening to this on a podcast, Terry, and they want to get in touch with you, what's the best way?
Probably just send me an email, Terry, T-E-R-R-Y, at Copper SM, for copperstoragemanagement.com. That's probably the best way to do it, or just search us, Copper Storage Management, and you'll find our website. That's probably the best way to do it. But thanks again, Mark, you know, for having me. You know, this was I don't take a change like this lightly, and I just saw it as a really big opportunity. And, you know, some people say this is the future. No, it's the present. This is the present. It's not future anymore.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks, Terry. Really appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Glad to do it. Thanks.